Hello, I'm Pastor Dan Troutman of the Heritage Baptist Church, located at 1 Autumn Leaf Drive, Flemington, New Jersey. The message you're about to hear has been recorded at one of our weekly church services. I trust that as you listen to the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, you will be edified in the faith and you will be enriched in your walk with Christ. At the close of this recording, I will speak further with you about knowing for sure that you have a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, and I'll share with you more about our church ministry. May the message indeed be a blessing to your heart.
We continue in this topic of the will of God. And we're on this section in regard to discerning His will. This is an area where we're all looking to gain that further understanding and insight so that we are able to know what the will of God is for us in a particular situation. And just remember, as we had talked and looked at already previous lessons, there are three major areas of the will of God. You have the universal, that's for everything throughout all of creation. What His will is, His desire. And then you have the moral will, that's set down for every single human being. And then you have the individual will. Well, we're trying to actually look at the individual will right now and looking at discerning that. And so as we have the next slide, and so we can put the cursor over on that right monitor, and we will unfold for us where we have been and where we are. So we've looked, first of all, that there are scriptural elements for knowing the will of God, the commands, the principles, the examples. So we looked at those because the chief way in which you're going to know God's will for your life is through the Word of God. That's His revelation to you. How are you going to know His desire, His intention, His ambition for you, His goals for you, unless you consult Him from His Word? It would be great if you would get an email or a text or some audible voice from the sky that would say, do this, go this place, take this job, buy that house, don't do that. You know, but it doesn't work that way. The Old Testament individuals, it was Noah. God told him, build an ark. I mean, the will of God for him was to build the ark. We now have the entirety of Scripture, which they did not have back then. So when you look at the Word of God, let it be understood as well that God's will revealed in His Word will never contradict His person. So you have who God is, you have what God has said, and that is coming down to us so that we know what the will of God is. There's no contradictions. Therefore, if you get counsel or you're led in a direction that is totally contrary to the Word of God or to the person of God, it is not the will of God. Make sense? Okay, so then we looked at some spiritual resources and prayer. Prayer is obviously a necessity when it comes to seeking the will of God. We're going to look at the next couple of weeks in the actual lessons of individuals and how they discerned and how they followed the will of God. Okay? And so prayer is a tremendous part of that. You look back out through all of Scripture, and individuals who are discerning the will of God, prayer was a chief component. And even if it was Jesus Christ, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And I believe that's recorded for a couple of reasons. One of the reasons is so that it sets an example for you and me that we're not looking to pursue our own will, our own intention, which oftentimes gets in the way of the will of God. But we're saying, Lord, I want to set aside what I want to do, what I intend, what my will is, and I want to line up with what yours is. And if my will and your will line up, praise the Lord, that's wonderful. But there are many a times that we got to pray, not my will, not what I want, but what you want, okay? And then we looked at counsel. Counsel from godly, mature believers for guidance and advice. We're going to be looking at one of the characters from the Old Testament. He was a prophet. He came to the king and he said, this is what's going to happen. And he was told by God, turn, go the home, the different direction, and you just keep on going. And then there was another prophet who learned about this prophet of God, and he sends to him and invites him to come and eat with him. And the prophet of God says, no, I can't, because God told me I have to go the other way. I shouldn't eat or drink with anybody. And he said, then this prophet says, But God told me to invite you to come. Oh, okay, great. So the guy comes, and then the prophet says, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord, you shall not make it home. A lion will meet you in the way, and you will be struck and killed. And lo and behold, that's what happens. So not everybody who says that they have counsel in the name of the Lord. And I believe this was done to test that prophet. And there are times where God will test us so that we have a discernment and so that we have a trust in Him. Because a lot of the will of God involves trusting God and faith in God, even when you can't see it. And even at times when it may not make sense. And even also when the timing of it doesn't line up with your timing. And so what seeking counsel we shared, it's not asking other people to affirm your decision already made, but it is earnestly seeking advice before and while you're in the process of making a decision. And these are like the major decisions of life. Now, I don't need counsel when it comes to, what should I eat for breakfast this morning? What's the will of God for me for breakfast? There are certain things I may not eat. I probably won't eat ice cream for breakfast, although it sounds pretty tasty at times. But then what should I wear? I mean, sometimes we can get so minute in our details that we miss the bigger pictures. Then when it comes to the major issues of life, we're not giving as much consideration. So what we have to do is, okay, when I'm seeking advice, seek advice of godly, biblically based, Christ-honoring, dedicated, those who are mature in the faith disciples. Not like Rehoboam, who sought counsel of his peers. Then he sought counsel of the wiser, and he went with the way of the peers, and we know how that turned out. So in the multitude of counselors, when you look down to the very bottom, parents, and older saints. It used to be years ago that when somebody was making a decision, parents, grandparents, and even when it came to, say, church, like your clergyman. But today, where's the chief source people are going to go when they seek advice?
Alexa.
Alexa, Google, Gemini, Siri, AI, all those things, right? Well, just remember something. Somebody had a program those particular intelligence offering and advice giving mechanisms. And there are times where AI can be beneficial. I don't doubt that. I don't dispel that. But then there's times you have to be very, very careful because based on who has programmed it. Now, the third area where we pick it up this morning. We yield to the Holy Spirit's control for leading and protection. So that's both positive and negative. The Holy Spirit of God's leading. Let's look at a couple of passages of scriptures, and then we're going to look at several others in regard to this area of the Holy Spirit of God's control. Now, when you look at these three and then the next one, we didn't put this in any kind of order of importance over another. These four are integrated together when it comes to the will of God. They are to be considered equally, and they are to be considered congruently. So while I am praying, I am seeking counsel. And while I'm praying and seeking counsel, I'm yielding to the Holy Spirit. Or start off, I'm yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, and I am praying, and I am seeking counsel. Or I'm seeking counsel, and I'm praying, and I'm yielded to the Holy Spirit. You see where I'm going with that? Okay. So let's look at Ephesians 5, 17, 18. Who would take that? All right, Jim. How about if we go to Ephesians 6, 18 and 19? Amy? How about Galatians 5, 16 and 17? All right, we'll go Jack and we'll come back here. But when we look at these verses of Scripture, it is important to consider each of their mentions regarding the Spirit of God's operation. Now, let me ask you this question. If you're here and you're saved, where is the Holy Spirit of God? He's in you. Now, let that resonate for a moment. Because I think sometimes, and I might be guilty of this as well, I'm living my days, and do I give full consideration that the Holy Spirit of God, the third member of the Trinity, is in me. I mean, that needs to be an abiding reality. And we don't want to dismiss that. And I think there are times we do. Now, there are two groups of how that happens. There's one group that can diminish the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And so he's only mentioned in matters of crisis or when it comes up in the scriptures. Then there's others who over elevate the Holy Spirit of God. And he is actually given far more. And please don't misunderstand me. He's given far more activity and action than God the Father, Jesus Christ, the Word of God, and so forth. So you have two extremes. What we want to do is we want to find a biblical pattern and say, the Spirit of God is indwelling me always. Therefore, I have to remember that when it comes to decision making, when it comes to following the will of God, when it comes to knowing the will of God, I have to fully depend on the Spirit of God's working while I am praying, while I'm seeking counsel. Ephesians 5, 17 and 18. Listen as we hear this read.
Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit.
Okay. And then go on to chapter 6, verses 18 and 19.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel.
Okay, so a couple of thoughts here, the Apostle Paul, when he mentions that we are praying within the will of God, we are walking in the Spirit. Now I'm going to take a little thunder away. Who has Galatians 5:16? Jack.
This I say, then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would.
Okay, so there you have a couple of passages of Scripture, because he does say, walk in the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. By the way, when he says walk in the Spirit, what does he mean by that? Walk in the Spirit. Well, let's define the word walk. It's coming up in tonight's message as well. Walk means what?
Live your life.
Okay, to live your life. Anything else? Okay, move forward. Anything else? Okay, you're hitting it on the head here, because the word walk, it is used in a physical sense of actual activity by which you are making the effort to cover territory, to go in a direction. And it's a habitual thing, because to walk means you are continuing to make steps. In the figurative use, which is found here, it has the idea of to keep conducting your life in such a way that it becomes a pattern, a routine, a habit, and hence it develops into who you are. You do it on a regular basis. So he's talking here of conducting your life. That little preposition in is the idea of location. So within the sphere of or in connection with the Holy Spirit of God, because he's inside of you. And as you walk in the Spirit, you will not. That's a promise there. And you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now that's the part of the will of God. Because, now catch this for a moment. When you are yielded to and you're under the control of the Holy Spirit of God, you will be in the will of God when it comes to his moral will, and you will have a discernment to lead you into those major decisions or other decisions you're trying to make to know what the will of God is. For instance, taking a job or leaving a job, going to a school or leaving a school, occupation, house, not selling, buying. Take this job. Don't take this job. So it is key that we are yielded to and in the control of the Holy Spirit. Because one of the things that there is a going on inside of you, there's a tug of war between what the Holy Spirit of God wants you to do and what you want to do. So let's kind of put that into perspective in the will of God. So there's a tug of war going inside of you between doing what God's will is and doing your own will. And who is going to win this tug of war? Yeah, the one you yield to. Yeah. How many of you, I've preached and had those little conversations with God, and there are things that go on, and it's just like, a tug of war. I had this happen to me yesterday. I'm changing oil in my car, the Suburban. And so that's about a 5.5-quart, you know, dispensing into this container. And it was a little windy, and the winds didn't have much of an effect at all. Until I dumped that waste oil into the old 5-quart container. And my hands were just a little sloppy. So I decide, I'm just going to quick go in, grab a paper towel. In that 30 seconds, a wind comes on, and the container was on a piece of cardboard, which I was laying underneath underneath there. And the wind got underneath that cardboard, flipped it over, and about 3 quarts spilled on the garage floor. I come out, and the first thing was, Lord, really? And then I stopped and said, I looked at it because now you're in a panic because it's starting to spread, and I know what's going to happen. And I'm like, okay, Lord, I need to go to immediate action. What am I going to do? And so I'm trying to contain this spill so it doesn't spread any further and so I don't do any more damage and this and that. It's already going to stain the floor. It's already there. I found myself, after a while, singing, count your blessings, name them one by one. Because you know something? At that moment, there's going on inside of me this anger, bitterness, resentment, Lord, versus Troutman, you can learn from this. There's lessons to learn. There's opportunities for growth right here. Your testimony's on the line. What if somebody drives by? What if somebody's making a delivery? They come up and they hear me singing, count your blessings. As opposed to me, maybe, I don't know, being angry and bothered and troubled. Would you ever have those battles? What will you do? You know, and I'm not trying to pat myself on the back or make myself up to be something I'm not. But I believe at that moment, the Spirit of God was in control. And my flesh was subdued. And in all of eternity, you know what? When we're raptured, it doesn't matter whether there's stains on the floor or not. I'm out of here. And so we have to have that perspective. Because the Holy Spirit of God is in you. In you. And so.
You were talking walk and step. That reminds me, being in the military when you're marching. Mm-hmm. You look at that parade marching down. Everyone in step. So one person gets out, and that's the first thing you notice is the person who is out of step.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's in the middle, the front, and wherever. You automatically notice that. So when we walk in step, you can tell the Christians are walking in step with the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, you can always tell the ones that aren't, even though they may not want to admit it. Mm-hmm. There's just something there in that walk that, you know, is noticeable.
Yeah.
To the trained eye.
Well, that is true because, you know, every one of us, we are living in this world, and the world's eyes are on us. Fellow believers are on us. That's tonight's message as well. But that's why being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that means there's full occupancy in me. And when you're looking at the will of God, now in that instance, the will of God for me was to be a test, you know, in that whole oil incident, just to be a testimony and a witness. And to learn from it and grow from it, okay? Cleaning it up, yeah. And so I prayed, I thought, and I looked, and I considered, how am I going to clean this up? And so, you know, it's funny about dirty oil, it's a little thicker. And so I saw this dustpan. I thought, this would be good. So I started scooping it up and putting it back in to this little container. And all the while, I'm thinking, okay, Lord. I thought, those pesky demons, I bet you they were the ones who brought that wind. And because I was doing for about 15, 20 minutes, and the winds were not a problem until that 30-second period. It's like, But we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God so that when you're looking at major things, some of you might be looking at a job offer, job transfer, leaving a job. You need to be filled with the Spirit, controlled by the Holy Spirit, because it is a spiritual decision as much as it is an economic and financial and family decision. What about, you know, with a house? Or what about when it comes to another car? Or what about when it comes to relocation? Or what about retirement? What about school? It is incumbent upon us as believers to be yielded to the Spirit. So it is ending up and resulting in a spiritual decision, because it really is. Okay? One thing, too, that he does say, I'm going to go back to Ephesians 5:17. You still there, Jim? Read Ephesians 5:17. Listen as it's read.
Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is.
Yeah, it's interesting because the word understanding here, it means the ability to bring things together and relate them as a comprehensive whole. It's reasonable, righteous thinking that will help you to know and discern God's will, because God doesn't want you to miss His will. God wants you to understand it. Understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so when it comes to decisions, when it comes to living your Christian life, it is God who really wants you to know. That means He's not giving you like a magic secret decoder ring you find in a cereal box in order to discern and find out His will. He's not going to lay clues out and say, all right, find this clue like you're doing National Treasure. Remember that? No, you're considering. And by the way, what also, when you think of the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God, what does He do? Well, that's a good question. Who would take for me John 14:26, Michaela? John 14:26. And then who'd also, let's look at another one. John 16:13. John 16:13, Tom. And then also we'll go down to Romans 8:26, Alex. And then we'll go to, let's just go to those three passages. Because the working of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, here are some important thoughts. Look at John 14:26.
But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you.
Okay. So the Spirit of God's ministry inside of you is to teach you. He's your resident instructor. So if you're looking in the Scriptures and you're not fully understanding, He's going to help teach you. If you're hearing the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, the resident instructor inside of you is going to help make sense of things, illumine your mind, help things to be clear, and help things to be understood, okay? And it says He's going to bring things to your remembrance. So the Spirit of God's working in you is to bring back portions and pieces of the Word of God, principles of Scripture, examples, so that you have those to use when you are discerning the will of God. That's why it is necessary for us to remember the Spirit of God's working in our lives. Now, let it be said, you cannot recall something that isn't already there. Okay? Like computers. There are times when you think you have, I've had this at times. I'm sure I saved that somewhere. I'm sure I saved that. And you do a search and it's no document found. Like, I thought I saved it. You can't retrieve from your computer hard drive that which has not been stored and saved there. Okay? Same thing is true. The Spirit of God can only bring back to your mind that which you put into your heart and mind from the Scriptures. That's why it is so necessary. When you look at the components, with the very first one, the scriptures, praying, counsel, the Holy Spirit, do you see how every single one of them are tied closely to the scriptures? Yeah. So if I'm seeking counsel and somebody gives me worldly advice as opposed to scriptural advice, my discerning should go off. The Spirit of God in me should say, alert, 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 false, wrong, inappropriate, turn away from that, don't listen. And then when somebody gives you good, godly, spiritual advice from the Word of God, the Spirit of God's working, yep, what he said, yes, that's good, that's acceptable, that's fine. So you can see how, again, this is all integrated. The Holy Spirit of God's working is integrated. Now, look as well, John 16:13.
However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come.
Okay, so the Holy Spirit, he is called the Spirit of truth. And he will guide you in all truth. There's a reason he's called the Holy Spirit. So once again, what the Holy Spirit of God is able to do with connection to the Word of God, because the Bible says in John 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So there again, it leads us to say, the Holy Spirit of God's working in you when it comes to discerning the will of God. He will never lead you contrary to the Word of God. He will never do that which is contrary to the very nature and the very purpose of God. Well, he is God, so he can't contradict himself. Okay? I remember back when I was an assistant pastor, I was working with a lot of the teens and youth, and there was a young girl. And she was really wanting to date this young man. And she said, I said, well, is he a believer? Well, no, but I'm going to win him to Christ. I am going to be a testimony and a witness and win him to Christ. I said, well, what does the Bible say? Well, we're to win people to Christ. Yes, it does. But when it comes to your potential down the road with this person who may be marriage material, what does the Bible say about those things? Well, the Bible says don't be unequally yoked together. I said, very good. So now you've got a dilemma. You want to be a witness, yep. But you are going to compromise this principle over that one? You can't do it. So what should I do? I said, my advice is to be a witness to him without dating him. Can you do that and still be in the will of God? Yes. Because what happens if down the road he doesn't get saved, and then your heart has already been yielding, given to him in affection and attraction, and him to you, and all of a sudden you're in this position of no return. He wants to marry you. I'll win him to Christ. You see, you can't compromise one portion of Scripture in order to emphasize another one. You can't do it. I've had somebody, you know, one time ask me about tithes and offerings. Well, I'm really short this, and I'm going to have to give up my tithes in order for me to meet my bills. I said, well, is there a potential that if you give your tithes that you can trust the Lord to make up the difference? I have to provide for my family. Sometimes, too, there's more month left over after the money because our spending habits are not quite disciplined. And I found that to be the case. So I got to provide for my family. God says I'm supposed to tithe. So the will of God, which one takes precedence? What would you do in that circumstance? What do you do in that circumstance? My first priority is God. I will take and give my tithes and offerings to God. And I will trust Him to make up the difference. And I'll tell you by experience that my wife and I did that on more than one occasion in our early marriage. And God blessed over and above that we could ever ask or think. I told the story. If you weren't here, I'll tell it again. If you were here, you'll probably hear it now for the 45th time. But there was a time my wife and I, we got paid by paycheck. And there was one week where all these bills were due. And I believe I need to pay when the bills are due. And seminary bill is due. And rent is due. And electric is due. And all these things. And then we had this little, we were doing cash at that time because credit cards weren't very popular. And so I would give her X amount of dollars for groceries. And when I calculated it all out, I said, honey, there's like $10 left for groceries. And you know how easy it would be to say, well, God will understand if I take the tithes that belong to Him and I'll just make up for it. Now, that rationale could be used. But Dawn and I said, no, this is what we're going to do. You get what you can get, and we're going to trust the Lord. We're going to eat out of the pantry. If it's ramen noodles and macaroni and cheese every night, that's fine with me. At that time, ramen noodles were only 10 cents a pack. Remember those? That was a great college snack. So we decide that, and this is on a Monday because the paychecks were given on a Sunday. And so went to the bank to do all everything else. My mother calls. Would you and Dawn want to come down for supper? I said, sure. And every time we go to Mom's, guess what she does? She sends leftovers back home. So we had a meal on Monday. Wednesday, I got a call and, hey, you and Dawn want to join us for church before services tonight? Sure. At church on Wednesday night, you and Dawn want to join us for dinner on Thursday. And this happened out of the six days until the next paycheck. Four of them, we were given invitations to eat supper with other people, and then we had leftovers for Mom. God blessed. And I think there comes a time and a place when it comes to the will of God, you've got to yield to the Spirit of God's working, and you have to recognize the priorities. God first, always. Any comments or questions or thoughts on that part? Any comments? Any other stories? I trust you do have some, because that's really what's going to strengthen our faith. Does God test your faith at times to see whether you'll stay in the will of God or step in the will of God or step away from the will of God? Yeah, He will. Look at last week's message for Sunday morning. Abraham, take your son, your only son, and offer him up as a burnt offering. All right. So we yield to the Holy Spirit of God. The last one is you reflect on previous experiences for precedents and similarities. What do we mean by this? Open doors, closed doors. You ever hear that? Past mistakes you don't want to repeat. Or past ways in which God blessed. For instance, the illustration that I just gave of my wife and me when it came to that week shortage for groceries, I tucked that away. And that is going to be helpful for me when it comes to discerning and understanding the will of God when we go forward. Okay? Yesterday, I will learn something about that incident with that oil. Don't presume. Okay? How easy it would have been for me just to put the cap on and then go in. So I learned from that. And I understand, by the way, life is going to be filled with experiences, both good and bad, that you need to tuck away and use as a resource when it comes to discerning and understanding what God's will is. Let's look at a couple of passages. Proverbs 11:14. Who would take Proverbs 11:14? Mary? And then Proverbs 15:22, Jim. How about Romans 15:14? Romans 15:14. Kristen? Eye contact. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, you good? 1 Corinthians 10:11. 1 Corinthians 10:11. Alex? And then 1 Corinthians 16:9. Amy? How about if we go to 2 Corinthians 2:12? Jack? And then lastly, Colossians 4:3. Colossians 4:3. Right. So let's read these in a string and see what is said about experiences, past situations. Proverbs 11:14.
Where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety.
Okay. Where there's no counsel, the people fall. Well, the counselors are giving advice, and therefore you're taking it and you're tucking it away for experience for the later on times. Proverbs 15:22.
Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established.
Yeah. Without the counselors, guess what? Things go astray and go awry. So your experiences are going to be pretty negative. Romans 15:14.
And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another.
Yeah. You're able to admonish one another. You're filled with these things, so you're able to benefit and bless each other. 1 Corinthians 10:11.
Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come.
Yeah, so the lessons of history are of our benefit, so we can learn from other people's experiences too, right? 1 Corinthians 16:9.
For a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries.
Paul says, there's an open door. There's many adversaries. So what I'm seeing in front of me, what God has done, is helping me to discern the will of God. 2 Corinthians 2:12.
Furthermore, when I came to Troas to preach Christ's gospel, and a door was opened unto me of the Lord.
Okay. So Paul echoes what he had said in the first letter. Colossians 4:3.
Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains.
Okay. So open doors, closed doors is a term that is usually given here along with these past experiences, lessons learned. I would pray and trust what we would do is we would not pass off situations that come upon us, good or bad, but we'd store them up, much like we're storing up scripture. And we would let the Spirit of God even use those or bring those back to mind while he does the scriptures and while he does past examples. So lessons that are learned. And so one of the things we need to do when it comes to the past, any of you keep journals? Any of you keep journals, write down things? Okay. I know my wife has done this a number of times where she gets a new journal every year. And then sometimes she'll look back and she will look and say, I'm here. I see what God has led and how he's directed and all the way back here and all the way through here and all these situations. And you can just, that is a great help when you're looking to make a decision or you're looking at circumstances where you're going to have to choose. Or you're looking at the will of God, which is it, which is it not? And so when you look at these lessons learned, there are going to be times the Lord gives you detours. The Apostle Paul, at times, he said, I wanted to go to Rome, but I was hindered. He says that in the 1 Thessalonians letter. I wanted to do this, and God hindered me. I wanted this thorn in the flesh to be removed, and God says, no, my grace is sufficient for you. There are going to be times where a door is going to close. For instance, you're looking for a job and you put an application in here and there and there and you really want to work this one. All of a sudden, you don't get called back or you don't get another interview. However, this one here, you get a call and they want to interview you further. So while this door is closed, this one is open and you realize the pay for this one and the fact that it gives me family time. And the fact that it doesn't interfere with my church service attendance and involvement, wow, that's even better than this. See how God can do that. The one thing you don't ever want to do is force a closed door open. In other words, if God is saying no, now how you force a closed door open, you're not praying, you're not yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, you're not searching the Scriptures. It is very easy at that time to make something become the will of God. And you can rationalize and you can justify, but at the end of the day, God's like, I closed the door. Now, if you want to force it open, there's going to be consequences. There's going to be damage and situations which you're going to make a mess of things. Then you're going to cry out to me and help me to, or call me to clean up your mess. Yeah. And so there are times where things are going to be a detour or bridge out or do not enter. So how do you know? How do you know? There are circumstances that God is going to divinely bring into your path that's going to either shut a door. Say, for instance, you college students, I look around, you want to go to this college and you have your heart set on this school. But when you make your application and you look at all the finances and you're looking at all the academics, it's a no. So you have now a choice. I'm going to go anyway. I'm going to make this work. I'm going to take out student loans, and I'm going to, and all of a sudden, you know, as opposed to, what about this school? Oh, this school has a better academic program. The finances are cheaper. I should have. See how these situations and these circumstances can unfold for you. Open doors, closed doors, detours. But this is all predicated. I put this one at number four because this is not the chief way of discerning the will of God. It is like congruent with the others. But when you look at the Scriptures, prayer, yielding to the Holy Spirit, counsel, those four are your chief aims and your chief ways of seeking to know what does God want. And then the other one, when it comes to experiences and such, that can fill in some of the gaps and some of the details. Does that make sense? Any comments, any thoughts? Jim?
You just never know how the Lord's going to work. I had a great job for almost 20 years. Was not always living, I was bachelor at that time, so my reputation was one of partaking of the things I shouldn't have been doing. Got right with the Lord, trying to turn my life around, be a witness. The Baha, who you kid, so I'm praying the Lord help me to, what happened? I'm losing my job. Okay. Realized I got a brand new start. But the days I got a new job, the one who's been there, I can come in fresh as the Christian. And what about? Did God do that? Was his goal for me to be saved on? Or, you know, some people like, you know, fight through adversity and still show that, you know, hey, you were like this, but you could be like this now if you trust in God. I don't know. But I do know that I ran with it. It could be an effective witness to the Word on that, and that my job is making me the same money, the same benefits, and everything that I had there. So, like I said, you know, am I reading into that, or was that, well, I don't know. But I ran with it anyway, and it has been pretty good.
Yeah. By the way, too, there are things that go on in life that you may not even be aware of God's working. And only after the fact you recognize, oh, I see what God was doing now. But that happens when we are in the Scriptures regularly, yielding our hearts and our minds, our souls over to the Holy Spirit of God's control, praying, seeking counsel, and living, walking with God. Because I'll tell you, this can happen. You're in the midst of decision making and you're walking with God, and all of a sudden, I don't want to say all of a sudden, but by divine working, because you've been praying, you've been walking with God, you've been yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, you have sought counsel here and there, and all of a sudden it comes into place. It's like, oh. And it's not one of those big, huge aha things. It just happens. You know what I mean? And that's really at times the way we should see things unfold. Just coming here to this church, as far as the pastor, how did I know this was God's will for my life? I mean, I'm a Pennsylvania Dutchman. I'm coming to New Jersey. I'm in church planting. This is a church recovery. And so things just, by praying, fasting, seeking some counsel, and just one by one, just. I don't know if I told you, but one of the things that happened on the day that I actually candidated, I think it was December the 15th, 1998. And I didn't know it, but I was going to be called to give an answer once the vote was taken. Okay? And so it's like, well, I didn't come to candidate unless I was going to say yes. And so with the vote being what it was, 17 voting members that morning. And I said, yes. So driving home, you know, we just, with the kids, all right, now what? Well, we're moving to New Jersey. We're going to find another house. I mean, I have a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 6-year-old. No, I'm sorry. A 3-year-old, a 7-year-old, and a 9-year-old. And it just happened. I don't want to say it just happened. Please don't misunderstand me. But trying to explain something that is God's divine ordaining and God's divine working, it's like trying to explain the Trinity at times. And God worked, and here we are. I remember telling somebody, I think it was my brother, mentioning that we're going to be taking a new church in New Jersey. You know what he said to me? New Jersey? Dan, why are you going to New Jersey? And I said, it's not my idea. You got to talk to God about it. It's God's decision. And you know, there's a perfect peace that comes along with knowing that when God directs and guides, and there's that internal joy and excitement about what God is doing. And so that's where we want to, as believers in Christ, discern and understand what the will of the Lord is. The moral will, we're doing that. The individual will, God makes it known. Any other comments, questions before we close in prayer? Anything else? All right, let's bow our heads in prayer. Thank the Lord. And then what we will do in the next couple of weeks is look at biblical examples of those who were seeking and finding the will of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time that we have had together. Thank you, Lord, for the joys and the blessings of the Scriptures. Thank you that you have indwelt us with the Holy Spirit of God. And thank you for counselors we can seek. And thank you, Lord, as well for the power of prayer. And I thank you. There's a comfort, there's a confidence in being in your will. May we seek it. May we abide in it. May we know it. And may we be confident and comfortable in it, fully content. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, thank you so much. We will get together for the morning service at 10:45.
Thank you so very much for taking the time to listen to this message from the Word of God. I do trust that it was indeed a blessing to your heart. As I mentioned at the beginning of this recording, I'd like to take this opportunity to invite you to enter a relationship with God by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior if you've not yet done so. It is God's desire for you to know Him personally. And thankfully, you can have the absolute confidence, the full assurance, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you know God and that you're on your way to heaven. Please contact me at the church office at 908-788-2672 so we can talk directly about your being absolutely sure you know the Lord Jesus Christ, your Savior, and that you have a relationship with God. You can also visit our website at hbcflemington.org and click on the link on the homepage at the top left corner entitled God's Free Gift. You can also learn more about our ministry by navigating the different links on the homepage. Let me also take this opportunity to invite you to attend any of our church services. Our Sunday school hour begins at 9:30 a.m. Our morning worship service begins at 10:45 a.m. Our evening worship service begins at 6 p.m. And our Wednesday Bible study, prayer service, and Truth Trackers Children's Ministry begins at 7 p.m. Thank you again for the privilege to minister to you today. If I could be of any further help, please do not hesitate to contact me. Have a great day.